Morning. I'm tired of the city life. I look around and I see traffic and getting caught up in that and all the distractions of life and people not treating one another the right way and getting caught up in all my own failures and I just want to get away. So I called up this place that I found in the book. And there's this guide. This guide who says that he can take me to a better place. He says that he has a trip planned, and there's a lot of other people who want to go. All we have to do is meet at the edge of town, and we're going to begin our journey. So, I pack up all my stuff, and I go to the edge of the town. And I'm sitting there waiting, and all the people show up, and the guide shows up, and he begins to address everyone. Everyone quiets down, and he addresses everyone, and he says, "There are three things you need to know before we go on this journey. The first thing you need to know is that I know this land that we're going to be traveling through. It is wild and dangerous, but it's beautiful. And if you stick with me, I want you to know that I know every turn of the whole way. I've walked it myself. Not only that, but all the stuff that you've brought with you to the edge of town, you don't need it anymore. You just leave all that stuff behind because everything that you're going to need on this journey, I'll provide for you. It's going to be a long journey, but I'm going to take care of you. And number three, the third thing you need to know is that there is a dangerous beast that's loose in this area. There's this dangerous beast, and it's cunning, and it's crafty. It's stealthy. It'll sneak up on you. And I'm the only one who can protect you from it. I'm the only one who can protect you. So as long as you're with me, I know the way. I'll provide everything you need, and I will give you protection while we're going on this journey. Are you ready to go? We're all like, yeah. I'm ready to go on this journey with you. So we start off. If any of you've ever been hiking, we start off on this journey, and it's the first time for everybody. And as we walk, it's pretty cool for a while. You know, we're starting out on a pretty level place, but we're getting out of town, and there's a pretty large path because apparently there's been a lot of people try to go this way before. And so we travel along for a little ways, and then I start getting blisters on the bottom of my feet, and my legs start to hurt, and this is just, it's not necessarily what I thought it was going to be, but I keep going, and I keep going, and I'm pressing on this journey. And one thing I start to notice is that once the blisters go away, they don't, you know, they callus up, and it doesn't hurt that much anymore. And I start growing stronger. I'm able to walk faster. My lungs are building up, and I'm feeling good about myself, right? That I'm doing the right thing, and I'm away from all that stuff I used to be in. And then we get up to a river. And we've got to cross it to the other side, and it's a wide river, and it's rushing, And so we get on these rafts that God has provided for us, and we put on our life jackets. We got to put on our life jackets, right? And we start on going across to the other side of this river, and as we go off, some people who were with us didn't quite make it. They went on downstream and they've fallen away. And so, but you know, this is something that I want to do. This is something that I want to do. And I'm getting stronger, and this is good stuff. And so we keep walking on, and we get to this large area of tundra in between these mountains, and it's beautiful. Oh, it's beautiful. And we're walking through this tundra. We're traversing it, and there's low bush cranberries in bloom, and there's blueberries, and we can eat those, and it's just a beautiful time, and it's great. It's still hard going through tundras, like going a mile in tundras, like going to 10 miles regularly. But you know what? We're still trying. We're still going, and the benefits are still, it's still good for us. And so, but there are some people who don't really like it anymore, and they say, you know what? I can't take it anymore. So we're turning it around and we're going back, and they leave us, and that road that was really wide is starting to narrow down. And we get to these mountains, these really rough, jagged mountains. And so we start climbing up these mountains together. And the guide has brought all the gear that we need to get up to the top. And it's dangerous. The cliffs are fierce, and there's a long way down. And we're all huddling together in this very difficult time. You know, it starts getting cold at night, and we're all huddled together. But the God is there, and we're protected, and He provides for us. And it may be rough going, but we're continuing to go along. And when we get to the top of the mountain, oh, how beautiful it is. We feel, after a rough day's climb, we feel the cool breeze on our face, and we look out and we see all the beauty of nature around us, and it's just wonderful. And as we come back off the mountains, and we go, and we reach some woods, and the guide says, it's not far now. It's not far. You have just a little ways to go. We just got to go through these woods, and just stay with me. Remember, I can protect you. Just stay with me. But yet again, there's some more who've fallen off the mountain or fallen behind and turned around and went back. But those of us who are committed to this journey, where we're staying with it, we go into this woods, right? We go into these woods and we're hiking along through here, and it's really great. And we get to a place where we're going to stop. And you know, I haven't seen any wild beasts or animals, or, you know, I haven't seen that I really needed a whole lot of protection. The only thing that I needed protection from was the journey itself, right? I mean, there's been nothing attacked me so far. And so as we start into these woods, you know, I start seeing some flowers that are really pretty. And so I hang back just a little bit and look at them, and they're really nice. And then I see that the group is going around the corner, so I hurry up and get up and run and catch up with them, because I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be left behind. But nothing happened to me then. And we stop a little bit for lunch, and we stop by this nice little stream, and while everyone else is packing up to leave out, I think, you know, man, it sure has been a rough trip so far, and I would just like just a minute or two more rest. And so I just stay sitting down, and everyone's packing up, and they're leaving, and I procrastinate a little bit. Next thing you know, I got to hurry up and take my tent down, and we're headed off. I head off towards where they are, and you know, they've already a little way ahead, but then I catch up to them, and okay, well, I'm back with the group now. But you know, there wasn't anything that happened. There wasn't any bad things that happened to me while I was, you know, behind the group. Well, as I'm walking along a little more, I'm hanging towards the back of the group a little bit, and I look out and I see something in the woods just a little bit away, and I say, God, I'm just going to go out here and check for just a minute. And he says, now we can't wait on you. If you choose to leave the trail, it's your choice. But I want you to know that there's a fork in the road up here. It's the final thing. And you got to make sure you go east on the fork. You got to take the east fork. And so I check out what I'm going to do. And, you know, nothing's happened. So I'm, you know, I enjoy the time that I have by myself or whatever. Because, you know, I deserve it. I deserve my time. I've been walking with this group for miles and miles and miles and miles now. And I deserve a little time for myself. So I get back on the trail, and I walking along, and I get to this fork in the road, he said for me to go east. Man, the sun's up in the noonday sky. I don't know which way west is. I don't know which way east is. I don't know which way north and south is. I just know it's, which way do I go? Which way do I go? And all of a sudden, everything gets quiet. Then I start hearing something out in the woods. Satan is wanting to exploit any opportunity that he has to separate us from God. He wants to destroy our fellowship. We have started off on this journey together. But Satan doesn't want us to last. And you think about it. What are the consequences of having our fellowship broken with God and with one another? What are the consequences of that? One thing we can look at is that we lose our way whenever we break fellowship with God, whenever we lose fellowship with one another, whenever we lose the group, we lose our way. If you don't have people around you to help guide you, you're lost. But not only that, you're alone. It's not good for any person to be alone. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes that if one person is by himself, he can't do anything. But if he has somebody with him that he can lean on, he can stay warm, he can overtake the enemy, he can conquer. But if you're by yourself, you can't. When you're standing at that junction and you hear the devil, you hear that beast crawling around out there, and you know he's coming for you, you have fear inside yourself, you have doubt, because we cannot make it on our own. And ultimately, if we break fellowship with God, it leads to death. That's what you got to look forward to. we turn our back on God, when we turn our back on our brothers and sisters, the final end of that road is death. But you know, there's a good side. What are the consequences if we are aware of what's going on? We've looked at some of the consequences of what happens whenever we break fellowship, but what if we're on our guard? What if we stick with the group? What if we stick with God and we walk the path? We have safety. There's safety in numbers. You go out anywhere by yourself and you're liable to get hurt, but if you got someone there, they can help you. You have guidance. We have the God who's there, who's in front of us, who can take us to where we're headed. We also have support from one another. Remember one day, Jake and Ben and I were hiking up in Eklutna, and on our way down, I sprained my ankle and nearly killed myself falling off a ledge. That was just one of the many. Some people would think we're bad for one another as friends. But you know, I had two guys there to help me. To help me get down off the mountain with a twisted ankle. We got support for one another. When each other fall, we can help one another up. And then, ultimately, we have life. Life everlasting. Oh, that's great. But we're looking at communication. That's really all we're talking about. Whenever you are in communication with God, His Word is a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. And we're all going in the right direction. Whenever we're in prayer with God, He knows our wants of our heart and the needs, and we see how much we depend on Him. That's why prayer is so important. But not only that, out in our fellowship with one another, we need to communicate with one another. We need to be open. We need to confess our sins one to another. And there is forgiveness in that. We need to have communication with each other and with God. But the devil doesn't want that for us. The devil doesn't want us to communicate with one another or to communicate with God. And it's very interesting. If you would, turn to Genesis chapter 11. Yeah, Genesis chapter 11. I'm going to read this for you real quick. Genesis chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. And it came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they used brick for stone and they used tar for mortar. They said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we'll be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language, and this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them." Come, let us go down there and confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. Where do you think the devil learned that if we stop communicating with one another, that we'll be divided. The Lord, our God, our Maker, the one who knows our thoughts and intents, the one who knows everything about us, the one who designed us, whenever He saw that mankind was unified together, and that whenever they were unified, they could do anything. Isn't that what He said? And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. He did one thing to scatter them abroad. He did one thing to divide them. He made it where they wouldn't talk to one another anymore. Isn't that interesting? You know, I guess Satan is a good student. Because he looks at what God does, and then he does that same thing today. He wants to alienate somebody. Just get them to quit talking to folks. You want to alienate somebody from God? Just get them to quit talking to Him. God shows us in this how valuable communication is. I don't know, that's not all the lessons you can learn from the Tower of Babel, but that's very much a lesson we can learn, isn't it? That communication for us is extremely important in us being gathered together, for us being unified, being able to speak with one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart. Heard that before, right? In Ephesians. That's what we're to do. What do we do now? We've looked at some consequences of sticking with one another, but then also being divided. And what do we do now with that? I would say, first off, we need to be careful in our communication with one another. We need to be very thoughtful about what we say to one another, because we are family. But not only should we be careful in what we say to one another, we need to be listening to what God says. And not only that, but our listening to God and being careful in our communication with one another, what it does is it's for our safety. But not just for our safety. It's for the safety of those around us. You see, I know something. I know something right now that most of you don't know. We have someone today who is going to become a child of God in our midst. Is that pressure? We as Christians have someone who's about to enter our fold. But not only do we have someone who is about to take on the name of Christ today, we have those in our midst who within the past month and a half, we have two others, Josie and Casey, our newborn family members. We have those who've returned back to the fold, Mark, man. We have so much growth that has came on here. We have so many things that are going for us. God is working in so many ways. And I honestly believe God's being glorified here at the Valley Church. But what we need to do is we need to make sure for the safety of those new brothers and sisters that we look to them and we try to guide them in the right way. We need to be the good examples for them. But not only that, we need to be that for one another. Because after you've walked long and hard on the road, on the journey, sometimes it's so easy to sit down and say, you know what, I just can't do it anymore. It's been just too long and too hard of a journey, and I don't think I can make it anymore. God is our Father. He's the creator of everything. And Jesus, His Son, gave His life so that He could provide for us everything we need to make it to that home in heaven. If you're tired, if you're weary from the journey, God can give you strength. But we can give you support. And as Christians, that's what we're to do as family. And right now, if there is someone who's hurting, who's just tired of the journey, don't give up. Let us help you. Tell us about it, so we can help strengthen you. But if you haven't even begun the journey, if you haven't begun the journey yet, there's no more greater journey than beginning your walk as a Christian, than being confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, repenting of your sins, turning away, walking out of the filth-filled city that we're in, and taking that journey to God, to that heavenly home. Being baptized in the watery grave of baptism. Becoming a new creature. If there's anyone here who also want to take that journey or that recommitment with Alice, please.